HarperCollins presents The Victory Girls by Joanna Toy. Read by Becky Wright. To all shop workers, past and present, you are much appreciated. Chapter 1. February 1944. It seemed as if the whole world was on the move and had chosen this particular day and this particular time to do it. The platform was seething with people.
"Mind your backs!" bawled the porters.
They were women doing a man's job, thanks to the war, and they were good at it too, as they snaked through the crowd wheeling luggage. Khaki, navy and Air Force blue mingled with tweed or cloth coats and the occasional fur. Forage caps vied with Homburgs, Trilbies and the velvet, felt and feathers of women's headwear. Cigarettes and jutting elbows were a constant hazard as people craned their necks and waved at travelling companions. Lily Collins gasped as she tripped over a suitcase and fell against a middle-aged man.
"Excuse me," he said sarcastically.
Alongside Lily, Jim Goodridge gave him a glare and took her arm.
"So much for the age of chivalry.
You all right?"
"Yes, thanks." Lily righted her hat on her blonde curls. "Can you see them?" They were looking for their friends, Gladys and Bill. He was one of the many servicemen and women returning to duty, and in Bill's case, who knew for how long, depending on where his ship was sent. He might even be away till the end of the war, whenever that might be.
"No," said Jim, frustrated. "I thought they'd be easy to spot. I wasn't expecting it to be so busy. We should have met them outside."
"Aye, aye."
He wheeled around to see Bill behind him, his kit bag over his shoulder, his ginger blonde hair peeking out from under his sailor's cap.
"There you are," cried Lily. "We thought we'd never find you."
"We've Gladys as far as she is," grinned Bill.
Their first baby was due in June.
"I've parked her on a couple of crates. With all this crush, she came over a bit funny."
He was putting a brave face on things. He had to. But Lily knew how concerned he was about Gladys having the baby without him around. On their wedding day last year, he'd asked Lily, as her best friend, to look after Gladys when he wasn't there, and if he never came back. Bill was a wireless operator on a cruiser, escorting convoys and under daily threat from U-boats and air attack. But he and Lily had never before spoken seriously about the danger he was in. Most serving men on leave didn't talk about it. Her own brothers didn't. Bill's words had brought Lily up short and made her feel slightly sick. And that was before there was a baby on the way. Bill had hardly got the words out when the empty train came clanking in under the blacked-out roof. It banged against the buffers with a screech of brakes and a theatrical puff of steam.
"Funny, isn't it?" said Bill. "When you start your leave, the train's always at least an hour late, but when it comes to going back, it's bang on time."
"Hello."
Gladys joined them. She was trying to sound cheerful, but it was about as convincing as the bacon substitute, Macon, made with mutton, that the government had briefly tried to promote. Apart from two spots of rouge, her round face was pale, except around the eyes, which were already suspiciously pink. Bill put his arm round her protectively.
"I'll let everyone else pile on first," he said. "It's not worth trying to get a seat."
Lily nodded, and they stood there, the four of them, no one really having anything to say, buffeted by people pushing past and around them. Lily hated goodbyes. Didn't everyone? But Gladys would be in bits afterwards, and Lily didn't want her having to walk home on her own. It was lucky that Bill's departure was on their half-day from Marlowe's. The two of them had been friends since Lily's very first day at the town's big store. They'd seen each other through several ups and downs, and Lily wasn't about to fail Gladys in this one. The crowd gradually thinned, and with the press of people dispersed, Lily could see the stained slabs littered with cigarette ends under her feet. The WVS tea bar, in which her mother Dora often served, was doing a brisk trade as people stocked up on something for the journey. The train already looked crammed.
"Bill," said Lily tentatively. "Hadn't you better?"
Jim took the initiative, shaking him by the hand.
"Good luck," he said. "And don't worry about Gladys. We'll take good care of her."
"Thanks, mate."
The way Bill was gripping Jim's hand spoke for the emotion he could...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?